material of Bible school, the anointing of abundance and excess. Course, the glory. Lesson 12, obedience to the Lord Jesus in the aspect of body and soul. The basic verse of this message is taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Repeating the main points of lesson 11. Wisdom of the world is the order of values without taking into account abilities and capabilities of the Holy Spirit. This is clearly seen in the word devilish in James chapter 3 verse 15. Earthly, sensual, devilish, thereby speaking as its source and about those who are guided by it, demons. The wisdom of the fallen angels in the human mind makes it spiritually blind, blinding the person at the level of the soul, mind. As it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Worldly wisdom are the rules of inglorious existence, without God's Spirit, without blessing, without the wisdom of God. Worldly wisdom is purposefully ordered organization of human life for the unimpeded action of Satan in it. The main opposition to the prepared individual glory of God for each person is the worldly, sensual, and devilish wisdom already existing in the mind of a born-again spirit. In general, this wisdom in the life of the born-again spirit is called natural man, or the soul of the born-again spirit. It is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But the natural man, a man driven by what is filling his mind, and therefore, basically, this is a phenomenon of the wisdom of this world and its values. Using the word fleshly or soul, the emphasis is on what the person is guided by. The flesh, body, for the born-again spirit, it's just a multi-purpose shell, the part of man which born-again spirit uses must realize the overall and individual will of God in the natural or physical world to manifest the glory prepared by God for man. The wisdom of this world has always defended the interests of the body needs and what is important in this godless world. The wisdom of the world is a hidden order of Satan values aimed at the destruction of the man himself by his own words and his own actions. Obedience to the wisdom of the world in the mind is obedience to the values of the spirit of death. Considering that every born again is always obedient to someone, this is what the Holy Spirit said that must be done in order to avoid the constant influence of worldly wisdom in the mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Part 1. The soul is not a supporter of obedience. We consider one of the teachings of Jesus, in which Jesus' attitude is clearly seen towards what came out even from his own soul. Why do I say even? To make it clear that if Jesus faced this with all his perfection, then whoever decides to be obedient to the Lord Jesus will face this. We read John chapter 12, verse 20 to 23. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we could see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Before the Greeks came, Jesus already had a word from God the Father. The time the Greeks were called was the moment when this word was fulfilled, as he said in John 12:23, The hour is come. And then, through the teachings of Jesus in parables, the way the task will be realized by God was revealed, and that will be afterwards. This doctrine has highlighted achieving obedience, but it is important to link the teaching to what he will say after. Attention! In John chapter 12, verse 24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat. Precisely, it is Jesus himself in the parable. Fall into the ground, come into earth, and die, will not do something for which it has been planted. It abideth alone, would be useless. But if it die, it does something for which it has been planted. It bringeth forth much fruit. Now be careful. We have come to regard our theme. John chapter 12 verse 25 says, He that loveth his life. Question. What is the connection between the words, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified, as we see in John chapter 12 verse 23, and the words of the parable of the grain of wheat, Loveth his life? Using the word love, Jesus speaks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Through the word, he marked the level of attitude to what comes from the soul. He that loveth his soul is a person who hears, meditates, unconditionally leads, and trusts in what goes out from his soul, his mind. He that loveth his soul is a person who what is revealed to him through his senses in his mind is considered as the truth. He that loveth his life shall lose it, as we see in John chapter 12, verse 25. Thus, will bring harm to it. Question, what harm is possibly going to come to the soul reacting to everything that comes from it? Attention! Amongst the functions of the soul, the mind, obedience to the Lord Jesus is not included. This responsibility is assigned to the born-again spirit. The soul, in a greater degree, is responsible for giving facts of the past and present. This means that to impose on the soul the function which it cannot perform ruins it. This is similar how you will consult with the 5-year-old boy on the construction of your house. Yes, he will give you advice, which later will cost you too much, will ruin your relationship with him, and perhaps will give you a lot of problems. Question: who would be to blame for what may happen? The 5-year-old boy or an adult who knew that receiving advice from a toddler is a stupid idea? Who is to blame for the fact that the born-again spirits heed to their unrenewed soul, even though they know that they should listen to the Holy Spirit? John chapter 12 verse 25 says, "And he that hateth his life in this world, in the world that surrounds it and imposes its cursed lifestyle." One who hates his soul in this world is a person who is not looking at what is being said to him by his senses. He is guided by what comes to his spirit from the Holy Spirit. That is what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 10. "We are fools for Christ's sake." In John chapter 12 verse 25, it is written, "He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." What Jesus further said, he said based on the fact that he is exactly what he does with his soul. John chapter 12 verse 26, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, or does so in the same way as I. And where I am, there shall also my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." This is what we have already read about eternal life. Now listen carefully. John chapter 12 verse 27, "Now my soul is troubled. Or tell me to do something that goes against the will of the Father." And then Jesus, as though speaking to the soul, he says, "Soul, and what shall I say?" This was in John chapter 12 verse 27. He seemed to ask a question on the basis of its requirements. And he continues, John chapter 12 verse 27, "And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." From these words, it is clear that his soul was compelled to speak to God the Father. It is clear that Jesus' soul, under the influence of this world, had pressure on his spirit. But the spirit of Jesus answered the pressure emanating from his soul. In John chapter 12, verse 27 to 28, "But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Now we read the actions of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where the reaction of Jesus was seen coming out of his soul. Read Matthew chapter 26, verse 38. "Then saith unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." Notice, it was not just outraged as before, it was oppressing. In his heart, there was no peace, no joy. Jesus' own soul, knowing what would be with his body, literally became his torturer. Jesus, being under strong pressure from that which comes from the soul, asks his disciples, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 38 to 39, "Tarry ye here, and watch with me." And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed. And the fact that when Jesus began to speak in prayer, he first spoke under the oppressive and painful pressure that comes from the soul. Pay attention to these words. in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. O my Father, the soul knows how to start with compassion. It's not playfulness, not cheekiness, but knowledge of the loving heart of God the Father. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Again, O my Father, if it be possible, at the same time, knows that all things are possible to God. Coming out of the soul and putting pressure on the spirit, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, let this cup pass from me. It sounds like an offer. Also, it sounds the same in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. But as the same words of prayer of the Lord presented in the Gospel of Apostle Mark, in Mark 11, chapter 36, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. In these words, it is not an offer, but the earnest entreaty. Question: what is obvious in this request of Jesus to the Father? Obedience to God the Father was not easy to Jesus. But before going to the cross, as it is written in Luke chapter 22, verse 44, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as if it were drops of blood falling down to the ground. And what Jesus says further sheds light on how to achieve obedience to God the Father, and in our case, the Lord Jesus. We read what Jesus said after a pause in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. His heart wanted the opposite of God's will and foisted its desire to the Spirit of Jesus. But as represented by the same words in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 14, verse 36, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. There is a little disagreement. Question: did the Spirit of Jesus want to do the contrary to the will of God the Father? No, as we have read, was indignant in his heart, which we see in John chapter 12, verse 27. So, to read correctly the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 14, verse 36, nevertheless, not what I will, my soul wants, but what thou wilt. From the research we have conducted, it is clear that the soul of born again, being under the influence of this world, is not in favor of obedience to God, and consequently, the Lord Jesus. So, expecting that the constant desire to be obedient to the Lord will appear from the soul is to deceive oneself. Read what happened next after the words to the Father in Matthew chapter 26, verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Their soul was not indignant by the request of the Lord. It was in harmony with their bodies, and it simply turned them off. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And leaving his disciples, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 42, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, maybe someone would think that after such a clear prayer, Jesus' soul would not again go against the spirit of obedience to his father's will. But to read again what's going on, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 42, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it. And the Apostle Mark writes that Jesus once again repeated the former words. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, Abba Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. The soul of the Lord Jesus is still opposed to his spirit of obedience. The spirit of the Lord went on to say, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 42, Thy will be done. It is amazing what the Holy Spirit recorded in this New Testament, so that the importance of the behavior of the soul towards achieving obedience to him will be known by all the followers of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening.